Hi and welcome to Canada Obscura. My name is Mary.
I'm Shelley.
And this is a show where we cover all sorts of spooky, scary things that take place in Canada, such as true crime, murders, hauntings, ghost stories, cryptids, aliens.
I guess UFOs.
UFOs, yeah.
They're technically separate from aliens.
Technically, yes. So the format of the show is we each cover a story every week, but we don't tell each other what it is, so that way you both find out alongside the other one. That was not grammatically correct, but we're going to ignore that. And just some preliminary warnings.
Ignore it by bringing attention to it.
Yes, absolutely. Some preliminary warnings. We do cover some harrowing shit. That is including but not limited to murder, sexual assault, child abuse, drug abuse, mental health issues.
Torture.
Or... Did I say child abuse? I did.
Yes.
Sexual assault in general. I think that...
Yeah.
So if you think that's going to affect you, perhaps come back another day. Also, we swear. Hi, Shelley. How are you?
Did we swear yet?
No, we didn't. Would you like to be the one to take that honor this time? For once? Because I haven't ruined it yet.
Fuck.
Aww.
I'm, sick.
Yeah, Shell's sick.
Tell.
Yeah.
I don't usually stay sick for very long, but whatever hit me this time...
Something rough has been going around. Something rough.
Well, I don't know if it's... Because, like, my coworker was sick all of last week, and he was training me, so he was beside me the whole time. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, it's obviously something airborne, because we're washing our hands so often in the lab. Like, there's no... I mean, there could be a way that it was...
Yeah.
Like, but...
It's minimal, though, right?
No, but I'm pretty thorough with washing my hands.
Yeah.
Especially because I am working in a microbiology lab.
Yeah.
But, so I'm pretty sure he got me sick. Mm-hmm. And I had a fever of just over 38 degrees.
Yeah, which is no bueno.
No. I mean, it's still considered mild.
I wonder fever. What that is in Fahrenheit. Goddamn it, Americans.
Something.
90-something. 38 would be 100. So you were 38.15?
Yeah.
So it was like 100.67 Fahrenheit of a fever.
So it was like, it's still considered mild. Like I wasn't.
Yeah.
But the thing is, whenever I get sick, like, I don't stay sick for long. It's usually maybe 2-3 days max.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sick the whole week.
Yeah.
And I don't usually get a fever.
Yeah.
Because a fever means, like, it's something systemic. Like, that's your body's reaction to trying to get rid of whatever foreign...
Nuke it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it was. I did get my flu shot, but it could have just not been that effective.
Or... Yeah. Well, because the flu shot is only particular.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't
strain.
I don't know.
Strains.
It could have been the flu, because usually when people get just a cold and they feel like shit, they're like, I've got the flu.
Yeah, everyone calls it the flu, but influenza is completely different.
It's, like, usually pretty bad. Like, we don't even do flu testing on outpatients.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're going to go to the emergency room and be like, I think I've got the flu, too bad, no one's going to test for it.
Mm.
Or they can't because, first of all, it's expensive. Like, you don't... In Canada, we don't really understand the cost of healthcare because we're not paying out of pocket.
Right.
But, like, it takes money, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's actually DNA-based testing.
Okay.
For usually viral testing, that's what it is.
I'm
pretty sure that's what it is. We stick it in a little analyzer.
That's probably why everyone keeps refusing to do a CSS on me. CNS.
That doesn't...
Culture and or whatever.
That doesn't take...
No?
No. That's just plating.
Oh. So that... I don't know, because, like, you guys... I've complained a million and one times about being sick. I've been sick a million and one times on this podcast. But,
You've
last
been sick throughout
week...
the entire... It's just one...
One long,
long
sick period. No, it was last week. I got sick for 10 fucking days.
Yeah.
And it dragged out, and I had fevers for 6 of those days. So, it was not pretty, and I missed a lot of school. And, I'm now very... up, but like when I saw my doctor, she was like, it's viral, there's nothing I can do for you, just go home and stay home.
There
and
are
I was like,
things
okay,
as, like they do viral cultures, but it depends on like it really depends, because they, if you're sending out anything viral, that goes to public health, Ontario.
Okay.
So like, and you also need to specify exactly what you're trying to rule out.
Uh,
so if they have no idea at all, then there's just no point.
Yeah, because she took a look at my throat. She's like, your tonsils themselves are not inflamed, but everything around it, she's like, is obviously very sore, very red. And like, there's little white colonies on it, which I think I've talked about before. Sorry if it's gross. But yeah, so she was like, antibiotics aren't going to help you, which I knew because we've had this conversation before about how useless they've been every single time I've been sick like this. So she's like, you just got to wait it out. And I think it just hit me hard because it's like, I've been so tired.
Tired, stress. It was freezing.
It was really bad.
It was minus 23 last weekend.
Yeah, which minus 23 degrees Celsius and a wind chill of minus 40. And we actually had a big storm. I was going to talk about that, so we couldn't actually do a podcast because...
It snowed nonstop for 2 days.
It was really, really bad. Like, you could not leave the house. Well, not... You could.
But it takes me, on a good day, 40 minutes to get to your house. It would have taken me, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, I had to go...
Assuming I didn't die on the road.
Yeah, I had to go to school on one of those days, and it took me an hour, which it shouldn't. It should take, like, a third of that. Literally a third of that.
Yeah.
But, it is what it is. It's Canada, and hopefully it'll be summer soon enough. But, like, sorry about missing that. We just genuinely, it was like, okay, we could die. Or.
Yeah, no, there no, was no we way.
No, could do. No, it was really, really not good. And like I said, it was a wind chill of minus 40, which, let me pull up that calculator again for you Americans. So, what was it? 23 degrees Celsius. So, it was minus 9.4 Fahrenheit. That's the actual. And then with the wind chill, minus 40 Celsius is minus 40 Fahrenheit. Huh. Yeah, interesting.
That's why I hate, like, I'm sorry. Total sidebar. Fahrenheit is the stupidest unit of measurement.
It doesn't make any sense, dude. It doesn't. Like, some dude just made it up.
Because at least with Celsius, like, okay, zero is the freezing or melting point of water, which is such a big, you know, biochemical essence of life.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense. And it's also... like in terms of Kelvins, which talks about the movement of particles and atoms and stuff, like it's, what is it, 273?
Yes, degrees Kelvins, because absolute zero, which we've never been able to achieve, would be the absolute stillness and frozenness of particles, because at that point, every single particle that is in absolute zero would have zero energy, and that would make it unable to move, but anyway.
Impossible. But, like, that also, you know, makes sense. Fahrenheit is, like, what? You multiply Celsius time by 2 and then add 32
I don't know.
Or something,
I don't know.
I should know this.
I don't know. I've heard so many different theories. Could I look it up myself? Yes. Am I going to? No. So,
it's just stupid.
Yeah. So, full shade. But, yeah.
Although, you're going to be hearing that a lot in the podcast. And probably the next two episodes, too.
Yeah. We're going to be recording this in one big old session because, like we say every single podcast, Mary is very busy. And we're also kind of, like, doomsdaying in case another...
The weather turns, which it's likely to. And also, I have to study for my board exams.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah, in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this covers for 3 weeks. But it's okay, because I'll have reading week before you have your board exam. So I'll be more flexible to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It should be okay. I mean, I've been told you could literally study 2 days before the exam and still be fine. But I'm like, I paid a lot of money for this.
No.
Also, like, my job that I currently have is conditional on me passing those exams.
No.
So I'm not going to...
Anxiety alone will make you be, like, sit down and, like, go through it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, just so that I know... A lot of it I do still remember, especially because I am using it currently.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's a little minute things that...
You never remember the fine details, right? It's always...
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's expected. So it's good that you're, like, proactive about it. And, so that was my next point. I don't even remember what was the last thing that we talked about. Like, it was after Christmas. It was absolutely after Christmas because we talked about your birthday.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was after New Year's, too. So, I don't even know. But a basic life update, I got sick. It snowed very badly. And it got
And then I got sick.
And Shelly got sick. and is pushing through.
I'm mostly like, I should pretty much be better by tomorrow. Because I can tell this is like the last little...
The dregs, right?
Yeah. Like it's just the mucus.
Yeah.
That's like starting to finally leave.
Yeah. I've been getting that for the last few days too. It takes time for it to like clear out of your lungs and all that shit. Yeah. I technically cannot talk about the stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I signed away a waiver. But I've got some very exciting things going on, and it's very, very cool. Very cool. But very stressful. Right? That's what I was gonna complain about. Okay. So, I said yes to a bunch of stuff. In the last couple of months, with the expected doing date of being like this month, the end of January and like most of February. And I was like, sure, yeah, that'll be fine because like most semesters, the heavier stuff takes place like mid to end of the semester.
Like when your midterms and the and stuff.
Yeah. But that didn't happen. Instead, it's been like ass backwards. We just hit the ground fucking running and like all the heaviest stuff is like the beginning of the semester because it's my final semester and I think every prof is trying to get us to have our portfolios done. Mm. This is the third, I just finished the third week of school and I already had a test.
Yeah.
So like.
Which is nuts.
It is nuts. And
I mean, the most I've had is a quiz.
Well, the amount of.
Single page quiz.
The papers that I've, like, it, just the notes alone was like 30 like word pages of notes. And then, like, it was, like, a bunch of diagrams and a bunch of videos. It was whatever. That's not the part that sucks. It's, like, I don't have time for all the things I said yes for. And so, like, last night, it was just, like, this is the most pathetic thing ever. I went to work, and then I came home, and I did homework until I fell asleep. And then I woke up today and went to work.
Which I've never done, even in university.
I literally... Like,
did I do homework in university?
Fucking.
Oh, no, I did.
Yeah.
Lab reports.
Yeah.
That's what it was. We have to do those. We definitely have to do those.
Yeah.
Remember Halloween when I was trying to finish my lab report and asking you guys for help? Because you were all over. We were watching, like, Insidious or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Was it Insidious?
Yeah.
And
I had, like, an 8 a.m.
Oh, my God. And we were sitting in your. We were sitting in your little living room there.
Yeah.
All just huddled together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, memories. Oh my God. But yeah, that's, yeah, super fucking, that's our update. Our lives are boring. let me open this back up. My laptop closed. Okay, yeah, no, we're doing good. Yeah, I saw Spider-Man. Fucking fantastic movie. And I really highly recommend
it. Wait, was this like actual... It's the Spider-Verse one?
Yes.
Animated or something?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's 3D. Okay, so I looked into it because, like, I had never seen an art style like it before.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. It was stunning. Like, I've never seen it before. And I looked into it because I was like, how the fuck they do that? So basically, they did everything in, like, 3D, CGI, whatever, to make it, like, an actual fucking 3D movie.
Yeah.
And then they traced over every single... still, every single frame. Fucking, this is literally my industry. Mary. I've been up early today, but it's okay.
I slept for 16 hours. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I was up by... what time?
I feel like I slept for 16 hours.
6:45. Ugh. Anyway. But yeah, they traced over every single frame in 2D.
Yeah.
And so the effect that they put on it was kind of like, you know, when comic books, when you, in your frames, the little dotting... The dotting of the print.
Half tone.
Yeah. They drew that on top of a lot of it. Oh. And they drew, like, actual 3D effects into it. So I saw it twice. I saw it in 2D and in 3D.
Huh.
I see nothing twice. Like, if I see it twice, it's far down the road. You know what I mean?
The only movie I've seen twice while it was still in theater was Skyfall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't so much, like, it was a good movie. I liked it. Like, it was, you would love the cinematography. It was beautiful.
I think I saw it.
It was, like, because it was shot in, like, the British, like, moors.
I'm pretty sure I saw it, but years ago now, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I saw it twice, mostly because, like, I saw it once because I wanted to go see it, and then a friend and I were like, oh, let's go see a movie, and there wasn't anything else but that, and I'm like, I don't mind watching it again.
Yeah, because it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, with Spider-Man, I saw it with a buddy. This was, I think it was either right before first week of school or first week of school, so I didn't have anything yet. So I saw it with a buddy, and then
how little did you know?
How little did I know? But yeah, so I saw it with my buddy, and then like, but I saw it in 2D because I usually hate watching things in 3D. Like I hate it.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, besides the fact that I have glasses, so a second pair of glasses, like, I could wear contacts, but it's just, I don't know, it tends to be just, like, a little too much. But so I saw it in 2D, and, like, there's value to seeing them in either way.
Okay.
But seeing it in 3D was a completely different universe, completely different, like, experience. Because, like, the entirety of it became 3D. Like, the entirety.
So, yeah, I think, well, animation works with 3D because I find, like, most things that I've seen in 3D, the 3D was really underwhelming.
That's the thing. You're just like, why the fuck am I paying extra wearing these dinky-ass glasses because on top of it? Like,
a lot of the times, it wasn't even, like, filmed specifically to be in 3D. So, they're trying to convert it, and it's, like, half, sort of, vaguely popping off the screen, but, like...
There's just, like, a fist that, like, comes out.
Yeah, like, you remember... You remember the 4D theater in Wonderland?
Oh my god, the SpongeBob ride, my favorite, yeah.
Like, the 3D, even before this, before it was a SpongeBob ride, like, they used to, I remember they played, like, actually, I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, before, like, they did their own thing, the 3D, I remember, used to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be pretty immersive. Even, I think...
Because it was different. It was different. It was intended for it, right? Yeah. You're right about that. Well, that's what... when I looked up, like, the background information about Spider-Man, it was made to be in 3D.
Yeah.
The only thing is, in 2D, there's more color. Because in 3D...
The glasses.
The glasses, and on top of that, like, the 3D elements make it stand out, like, and apart. So it's just like, oh, this is, like... This, like, beam of whatever is its own thing, while seeing it in 2D, it's all together. So 2D was just a lot more of a colorful experience.
Okay.
But it was still beautiful in both. And but, like, I've been recommending to see it in 3D simply because you get, like, you
actual go 3D.
In it. Yeah, it's so cool. Unless 3D
makes you dizzy.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah,
which
yeah,
case,
yeah.
Do not fucking do 3D.
Maybe don't. And the dude jumps off a lot of stuff, okay?
Like, it's yeah, like but, trying to play Mirror's Edge.
Oh, shit!
It gets a little bit, especially because the newer one, they integrated VR.
Oh, no way.
I think.
Okay.
Just certain aspects. I don't own, like, an actual VR platform.
I want to so bad. But I've been very reluctant to buy those, like, you know, we both looked at my phone. Yeah. Those, like, the ones where you put your phone in. Oh, I have one. Like, is it good?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. It's not, like, it was... fun and gimmicky for the first
right
hour.
Okay, that's what I was worried about, yeah. Because I've tried when they first brought out the headset years ago at Fan Expo and was like, oh my god, you can do it for your phone, your Samsung, whatever. I tried it and it was like, this sucks, but I don't know, I just chalked it up to, I was like, I don't know, maybe it's just like the fucking phone itself. I don't know, whatever.
Now it's probably a little bit better because
I'd hope so.
Better technology, yeah. Better understanding, yeah.
Well, there's also, like, the Google Cardboard, but I've never... I've never, because it's like, I don't know, it's been like, okay, yeah, I could only pay, like, whatever it is, like, $40 or whatever it is to get the card. No, less than that. I think it was, like, 20.
It was 20, but it was all, like, it's cardboard.
Yeah, literally.
I paid maybe 50 for mine, and that was one of the more expensive ones.
Yeah.
Because, like...
I think when you and I went to Miniso a few months ago, we saw the headsets even...
I don't remember seeing.
Yeah,
that.
I think at Miniso.
Oh.
But
no, Miniso, they're not that expensive, cuz really all you need is, like, the lens.
Yeah.
And a thing to hold your phone.
Yeah.
Most of the cost, I think, went to, like, cushioning and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. That
because you want it to be able to block out light to make it immersive,
but still comfortable too. But yeah. I want an actual. I've never tried
Oculus.
Yeah. Because every time that I've had the opportunity, it's been like, this lineup is not fucking worth it. So
no,
I just
there
don't.
Was one at Fan Expo where they did it was like a horror one, and you could hear people were like screaming, and I'm like, are you really
apparently
that scared?
Yeah, and apparently, like, on the first day, because I a bunch of friends were able to try it, and then after that it was just because no one goes on the Thursday. It's a Thursday afternoon or something. Yeah. No one goes. So, but true. Then or when I say no one, I mean, like, significantly
very
less
few.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just never been worth it. But I want to try it, but I don't have the space for it. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't have $2,000.
Yeah, that too.
That too. But, like, it's like, I don't have the space for it. And, like, I do know that there's games that you can play where you're just sitting there and you use, like the controllers to move around. Or it's just, like, interactive in this space around you. But I really want...
Well, it has to be within a certain space because you're still wired.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You start tripping over things.
Oh, yeah. But I still want to be able to... Right? There have been, like, VR, not cafes, VR, like...
Oh, yeah, like, the arcades.
Yeah. They've been popping up, like, there's one in this city, the mall right up the road there, and there's also, like, in Oshawa, and I don't know.
A bunch, there's one in, like, almost every mall now.
Yeah, so I might just, like, try it, just go one day.
Yeah.
Not in the next month or two, but go eventually and, like, give it a shot because, like, I really want to try it. And I feel like
it seems fun.
Yeah, and I want to play some shit. I would love to play a horror game.
Oh, because, I think those things are just made for horror games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the whole point of, like, horror is it's, like, playing with your senses. It's the atmosphere. Yeah. So if you're fully in it, like, I can see how
because that's the problem. Like, when I see, like, actual horror movies or when I see playthroughs of YouTubers like playing horror movies even if they're like
games.
It's still like wait, how far are we, should we move on? We should move along, but like I saw Bird Box too.
Oh, I haven't.
It's okay. It's shot beautifully, and the acting is all very good, but I don't know, I think it was just a little too hyped up, you know what I mean? Also, the guy that plays Tom is very hot. I don't know what his name is, but he's very hot. Sandra Bullock also is always a treat. She's wonderful. I adore her. And her, like, relationship with,
what's her name? Fuck.
Oh, shit.
You're thinking of an actress?
Yeah. Fuck.
Sarah Paulson?
What's her last name? Starts with a P.
Paulson,
thank you. Yeah. Did you say that?
Yes.
I didn't hear at all. Sorry, these things, like, but yeah, Sarah Paulson. Like, the two of them, they had, like, they play sisters. Not a spoiler. They play sisters.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Spoiler! No. But, like, they're back and forth. It's just, like, you can tell that they have a genuine relationship outside of the movie.
They've been in a couple other things together, right? Like, weren't they in Ocean's...
Yeah, I still haven't seen Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
Which makes me a terrible, terrible person, because I really want to see it.
I haven't either.
Yeah. But... It's got, like, every fantastic... Sorry, I'm scratching my
back. I feel like you can hear the scratching, because I can hear the scratching.
Probably. Yeah, this shirt's kind of... I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so moving on. You're doing the spoop this week.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds hilarious, like the name of it. It's the Cabbage Town Tunnel Monster. Cabbage Town, for those who don't know or live in Toronto or care about Toronto, is a neighborhood in Toronto.
Yeah, believe it or not.
It's called Cabbage Town because of the original, like, large Irish immigrant population.
Wait, really?
Yeah, in the late 1840s, they had moved into the neighborhood and were said to have been so poor that they grew cabbage in their front yards. Hence the name.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So it features largely semi-detached Victorian houses and is recognized as, quote, the largest continuous area of preserved Victorian housing in all of North America. If you couldn't guess from the fact that it's full of Victorian, like, houses, it's now hipster as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty gentrified, although apparently, like, commercial rent is still relatively cheap compared to other parts of Toronto.
Is it?
Apparently.
Key term there.
But also, like, Toronto's expensive as fuck. Like, when they say compare it to... It's probably not a huge improvement.
It's probably like $1,800 per month versus the $2,000 per month for one, like, studio apartment. Yeah.
So we're not talking about the hipster side of it. So in August of 1978, Ernest, a dude named Ernest. He didn't provide his last name for privacy reasons.
Okay.
He was out at night trying to find a kitten. So he and his wife were, like, taking care of a litter of kittens. And I guess one had escaped. And during his search, he found a tunnel, kind of, like... I saw a picture of it. It looks creepy as fuck.
Does it?
It's just a hole in, like, a rock wall thing.
Okay.
That leads straight into darkness. Like, it's small.
What are they called? Like, when you... you saw the movie It, right? Like,
the remake. I know It.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know, because it's like a storm drain. I think that's what it's called. Storm drain that...
I think it could have been.
Okay.
I think it might have been at some point, but it was just so, like, worn down.
Okay. Yeah, our infrastructure's old, man.
Yeah. So, he decided to investigate, because he was curious, and also the cat could have gone in there, right? Because it's also shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was said that he went only about 10 feet into the tunnel before he saw a strange and terrifying creature.
Was it Pennywise?
No.
Oh.
It, quote, looked somewhat like a long and thin monkey.
Ew.
Around 3 feet in height, with large teeth and covered in gray fur.
Okay, what?
It had unsettling eyes that peered out of the darkness.
Okay, but that's me, though.
From...
Sorry.
You wouldn't be able to see my eyes in the darkness.
You would or would not?
Would not.
No.
Like, both our eyes.
No, our eyes are too dark, yeah.
They were described as having, like, really deep eye sockets, and the eyes themselves were bright orange and slanted. And to make the whole ordeal even more horrific, Ernest reported that the thing actually spoke.
Okay, gross.
It said, go away," in a hissing voice, and then took off down a long tunnel off to the side.
So this is like a monkey slash ferret slash salamander slash human?
I guess.
Okay.
So obviously Ernest noped the fuck out of there.
Mm.
And then he would later grudgingly tell the Toronto Sun newspaper after... being told by his friend to do so. The reason he didn't want to give his last name was because he didn't want to be ridiculed, because he was like, this whole thing was like,
it sounds
so unbelievable.
Yeah, it sounds pretty ridiculous.
And staff from the Toronto Sun even went as far to actually go with him to the location.
Okay.
The next month-ish? No, the next year. It took him a year.
A year to get out there to double check.
And they found that there was actually, like, an entrance to a cave at the end of a passageway between houses, which then led to a narrow tunnel that dropped off into, like, the darkness so sharply. They thought it probably led to, like, a sewer system or something.
Okay.
Like, it was some kind of service tunnel.
Mm.
When they investigated, they didn't find any strange creature, but they did find a slightly unpleasant mention of animal, a maimed carcass of a cat.
Oh,
half buried in the ground.
No.
So, like, I mean, it could have been an animal, though.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been a wild dog or another angry cat.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah. Or Pennywise.
Pennywise, yeah. He gets hungry sometimes.
When sewer officials were questioned about what Ernest had perhaps seen, an employee gave the rather ominous statement.
Oh my god.
Quote, people who work on the surface just don't know what it's like down there.
On the surface! We all float down here.
It's a whole different world. Who would have thought a few years ago that people would live in sewers? And yet that's what they found in New York a few years back. I saw New York and then New Year's.
Is he thinking
a few years?
Is he thinking of New York?
Well, this was
from Futurama.
Well, no, people do live, like...
Yeah, I know, but they also have... Have you ever seen Futurama? One of the characters, like, her parents are... She's a mutant, and her parents are mutants, and they all come from, like, the underground, which is just all fucking... Everybody living in sewers, and it's, like, a whole city.
Okay.
But it's New York. I'm pretty sure it's called New York because it's, like, old New York, and then they built new New York on top of it, but anyway.
New York was also a Doctor Who thing. Anyway...
You know what? Yeah, and there was also, what movie did I see that had
Nouveau
York?
I'm pretty sure New York was the episode with the moisturize me.
Oh my god, stop. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Cassandra!
Yeah!
Our babe Cassandra! And then Nouveau New York. Who's Nouveau New York? Anyway, continue while I figure this out.
There's not much left.
Nouveau York.
So he continues to say, I don't know what he saw down there. I'll tell you one thing. If we could get in there, I sure as hell wouldn't want to go alone. So,
fair.
One idea of what the Cabbage Town Tunnel Monster could have been was that it maybe wasn't like a naturally tunnel dwelling creature, but maybe some strange cryptid from above ground taking refuge in the tunnel. The region where it was sighted has had a long history of natives reporting a race of has long had accounts from the natives of a race of smallish hairy humanoids that inhabited areas near waterways and were called the Memegwesi. Probably pronounced that wrong. So, like, it seems like it's possibly something that could have found its way, or it could have just been a really displeased homeless man. Like, look, it was dark. It was a very narrow-looking tunnel. And, I don't know, it was probably late at night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and people fucking trudge around all the time.
Yeah.
At all times of the night. Like, it's not just exclusive to little gremlins.
Well, we were saying how, like, yeah, homeless people do take shelter in drain tunnels and like, the sewers and stuff because it's
shelter. I remember seeing a whole... It was a documentary about people who, like, have set up entire homes. The homes, you know what I mean by homes. Like, entire... I guess shelters is a better word for it because it's not a home. But, like, refuge down there. And I think it was New York where the cops are going under there and trying to get them all out of there. And it's like, fucking, what do you want, dude? Just, like, some of them
either give them a better opportunity or just leave them be.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure Nouveau York was Into the Spider-Verse, but one of the many New Yorks.
Unless if it was, never mind, I'm thinking of something else. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
That's the, Cabbage Town Tunnel Monster.
At me next time. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that, which is pretty interesting. Come on, turn on. No. There we go. Okay. Yeah. Okay. When did you say this was again?
Late 70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah.
So definitely, like, soon enough that there could have been documentation about it. Okay. I get you. 10-4. Okay. Sorry, that's like, I have my laptop resting on...
A stepladder,
because we busted here. So, I'm doing the true crime this week, and it's not murdery, however, it talks heavily about sexual assault, child sexual assault.
Ugh.
So, like, if that is going to be affecting you, this would be the time to turn it off. Because I will be talking about it. I won't be talking about it too extensively, but we will be talking about it. So, this is about Brian Boucher, maybe, because he's Montreal.
Boucher.
Brian Boucher, who was a
Roman... I would have never looked at that and thought Boucher.
Boucher, whatever, man. Honestly, I don't care if we mispronounce his name, because he's fucking awful. He's a Roman Catholic priest, and he has worked... at 10 churches, 10 different churches in Montreal over the last 2 decades, and has pled guilty to 1 count of sexual interference and 1 count of invitation to sexual touching. And then he ended up getting another charge as well. So a judge found him guilty of sexually harassing and assaulting a former altar boy, same story I've heard over and over again, more than a decade ago at this time. So currently this former altar boy is in his 30s, but he came forward with it recently. And, while Boucher was a parish priest at a church in the town of Mount Royal,
Sure that's where we stayed when Karen and I went to Montreal.
Really?
Mount Royal, yeah.
Actually, I think I've been there too.
It's nice.
Yeah, I don't think I stayed there though. I think we just went on, like,
fucking... We stayed in, like, The hotel room was like $70 per night. So split between the two of us, it was like $35.
That's dirt cheap.
And we walked in, we're like, wow. Because Kara and I lived in Rez together. Yeah. Right? So we walked in, we're like, wow, this is almost exactly like Rez.
Oh my God.
Like it had a little table area, you know, where our table used to be. There was no kitchen because it was a hotel room.
Yeah.
But like a small bathroom and then the two beds next to each other.
With that like, little half divider?
I don't think there was a half divider. Okay. It was just like a like bedside table kind of thing.
Okay.
And then like a small TV. And I was like, this looks so
literally?
Like,
yeah. Oh, well, $35 a night. You can't fucking.
And it was a good neighborhood to stay in, especially for like us on a budget because it was close to the metro and it was close to like restaurants and stuff. So
that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's like when I went to New York, we spent the nights in Jersey. Because we got an Airbnb. We ended up getting a whole fucking townhouse. And it was dirt cheap.
Wow.
It was dirt cheap. It was, like, offensive how cheap it was. And, I mean, it was really good. And so we had a whole townhouse to ourselves. We just walked, like, 5 minutes to a main road. Got on a bus that was, like, right outside the Lincoln Tunnel. Just drove over. We're in the heart of Manhattan.
Yeah.
So it was perfect. And it was so good because we were fucking broke, man. Still broke. But anyway, so, Boucher actually admitted in court that he sexually abused a second altar boy, as well as an additional one. This time, while he was a junior priest at a parish in Montreal's LaSalle neighborhood in the 1990s. So, the victim in this second case had already testified as a witness in the previous trial. And he was called by the prosecution as a, quote, similar fact witness. I don't know what that means.
I would assume saying that He didn't witness the crime being tried for, but would be there to say, like, look, this guy has done it before.
To me, yeah. Yeah. To try and establish a pattern of behavior by Boucher. So he, again, because he did plead guilty, so the Crown and defense agreed to accept the witness's testimony for the first trial as fact because he had pled guilty. So, he's admitted to both of them.
Yeah.
They've both come forward as of this. I don't think they actually shared. Yeah, they haven't shared their names. Good, 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 good. So, yeah. The man in the first trial, who was in his 30s, said he was the one that was the altar boy. The altar boy at the parish. Because this happened, there was the two different situations. I will further clarify that when I bring up the other one. I apologize. But anyway, so the first guy who was the altar boy when Boucher was in the parish testified that he began abusing him when he was 11.
Oh my God.
And then for a period of 2 years, Boucher would drive him to motels, watch pornography with him, touch his genitals, and force him to give and receive oral sex. And it happened almost weekly.
Oh,
until this boy
God.
Was 13. And then after the incidents, Boucher would often say to him, quote, we shouldn't have done that. We have to go confess. And then the man, of course, testified he still feels the effects of the abuse. And this is a quote from...
Yeah.
You're fucking right. And this is a quote from him. It's little things that still affect me today. Even if someone I care for puts their hand on my leg, it still affects me, of course. And he obviously choked up in court, but he choked up, especially when he talked about finally telling his mother what happened. He said, at my age, I told my mom, seeing her break down, it was devastating.
Aww.
So the Montreal Archdiocese issued a statement responding to his guilty plea, and they said, with this plea, the victims are able to continue the difficult process of healing according to their own needs and out of the glare of the public. It is a scandal that is a source of tremendous sadness. It stands in complete opposition to Jesus Christ and his church. We are of one heart with the victims, their families, their parish communities, in their pain and suffering. Your pain is our pain. We will never accept that such crimes be committed and remain concealed. So the thing is, we all know about the open criticism of the Catholic priest. What do you call it? Priesthood? Whatever.
Just the Catholic Church in general as an institution.
Yeah, and their rug sweeping of issues of this case.
Yeah. Well, of all the cases, like, it's such a terribly common story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, like, it happens again and again.
And again and again.
And yeah, the church will condemn these people. They'll say that, you know, this isn't right. This goes against God and goes against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not doing anything about it. They'll acknowledge it when it comes up and be like, oh shit, that's bad.
Yeah.
But not actually do anything to
prevent it. Yeah. And they usually, what they usually do is they just
Say it's an isolated incident.
Yeah. And then they've repented, and or they just transfer the priest to another church. In this case, the archdiocese, the victim first approached the diocese. So I think it was the first guy. They don't actually say which guy it was.
Okay.
The first victim, rather. But they approached the diocese in December 2015. By the way, this article was posted on January 21st. This was like a couple days ago. And they said that the diocese cooperated with every step of the subsequent police investigation. And the archdiocese immediately removed Boucher from all ministry functions, including saying mass in public or hearing confessions, and initiated a disciplinary proceeding called a, quote, canonical inquiry.
Okay.
Which I believe is them...
Like an investigation.
Yes, an internal investigation, although they don't actually call it that. So I will give them that, because usually what it is just rug sweeping.
Yeah.
But in this case, he was like, nope, step down, we are going to figure this out.
Well, it's not saying, like, you know, the whole institution is going to sweep everything under the rug. Sorry, that was my laptop. There's going to be, a few people who are, going to do things right.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got that email was another shooting opportunity for a client that was really happy with our work, and it was actually incredibly sweet.
Aww.
Aww. That's so sweet. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so, it's not like everyone is going to be trying to sweep things under the rug, but the problem is that the people who want to speak up and do something don't necessarily have the power to, because they're shut down by everyone else being like, no, don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
You're going to disrupt the entire institution. You're going to throw and I know this is a common thing people say, oh, people are losing faith in in the faith. Mm. They're losing faith in religion. They're losing faith in the church.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to make it worse, but it's you not doing anything
is what's making it worse.
It's making it worse. You know, if you want people to embrace religion again or whatever, don't pull the shady kind of shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's horrific to see that what should be a place of refuge, it should be a place of welcoming and love and acceptance, is so corrupt.
Well, here's
so corrupt.
And the thing is, it's a trust thing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because religious leaders, they're not just, there to preach and then they step off. They're members of the community. They're getting people together, and people look up to them and they trust them.
Yeah.
And these parents who, are having their kids be in the choir or be altar boys, they're trusting the members of that church to lead their kids to what they think is a good moral path.
And to care for their kids, too, because you're spending hours and hours and hours every single week, especially as an altar boy and, going through everything, it's a huge abuse of power in every single way. And, I think there was another article that said 3 charges of sexual assault and sexual touching. I don't know which one is correct. They're both from the same source, because I did say earlier one, but, what I wanted to bring up from this article is the introductory of the first victim of why he was abused, or rather, the sequence of events. He claims it began when Boucher asked him about his sexual feelings, and then that's when it escalated. So it was, I wanted to bring that up because it's definitely your mentor asking you.
As an adolescent boy, right? Because he said he was about 11, so that's when puberty's kicking in and things are getting a little weird and...
Yeah, and apparently penetration too. Fucking, that's awful. But that's the whole thing. It's an issue of confidence, confidence, whatever.
Confidence.
Yeah, and it's just I can trust you, and I can come to you, and I can talk to you about anything and everything, because you are a messenger of God, or blah 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 blah.
Even even if you take away the whole church aspect, that is a lot of how adult abusers in general, of children do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They understand that, on some level, this child is insecure and unsure, and they're, providing some kind of guiding hand.
Yes. Yes. And like, yes.
It's, ugh.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And it's such a, again, a severe abuse of power.
Yeah.
And it's, it shouldn't still be happening. I do also want to mention, before he pled guilty, Boucher, the judge said that the defendant was asking the court to believe the unbelievable when it came to the defense's argument that the victim had fabricated the abuse as retaliation for a prior incident where he was reprimanded by Boucher. So that was before he claimed guilty, to add insult to injury.
Wow.
I didn't see that part. I just saw it because it was hidden under a read more, and I... Yeah, I know. I still get caught by those. But yeah. So, incredibly scummy.
Oh,
yeah. I'm just very glad that the church was like, or at least the archdiocese, I don't know how that fucking works. I don't know if it's just like of Quebec or fucking, I don't know. I don't really care.
A certain region. It's yeah. The regional manager.
Regional. Yeah, right? Like, assistant to the regional manager. But,
It's the Pope, the CEO.
Pope the CEO. Oh my god. So who's the VP of claims then?
Mary, no. Stop.
That was just like a horror flashback to our own prior work. But yeah, anyway, so that was that. He is going to go back to court in March. I believe end of March. March 25th is the date that I kept seeing, but we'll see if he actually is in there back then. So I don't know.
For sentencing or?
For sentencing. Okay. Yeah. Because he's been charged and he pled guilty and they've accepted the guilty plea. I hope they don't go easy on him, but we'll see what actually happens. But yeah, so it's awful. If they do end up updating that, we will update you. But yeah.
Bummer.
Be careful who you let your children around. And it's fucking awful it's that you so have to like, say that. Because you
like
shouldn't.
You should be able to trust, like, religious leaders and teachers and coaches and all of those people who are supposed to be watching out for your kids. Like, you shouldn't have to start being like, oh, do I have to helicopter parent now?
Yeah.
Like, do I have to be, like, sneaking around?
Yeah. And, again... sorry to keep like reiterating to be like a place of refuge and a place where you're supposed to be like holy and to like I don't remember what I was saying sorry, there's gonna probably be an abrupt cut there, which is whatever, but there was a lot of noise outside my door, but yeah, so thanks for listening to that. I apologize for such a downer. Welcome back. Yeah, I don't know. It just, I'm not gonna sit here and rant, but I can absolutely rant about how much of a fucking god-awful, shitty situation this is, and especially the rug sweeping from the church. And again, like, all hands to the archdiocese, who, the moment he was made aware of it, was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Actually doing the right thing. Unfortunately, there's not as many instances of that.
No. It's usually just a relocation. I will also say, though, there's a lot of times where peers know exactly what their... well, in this case, I guess he would be a coworker, wouldn't he? What their coworkers are doing, especially when you're in each other's pockets all the day. So would not be surprised if there are some other priests in that church who are more than well aware of what's happening and just turn a blind eye.
Or
it's very hard to hide that kind of shit when you are in each other's pockets all day. Or
also participating.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to say it, but yeah. So hopefully, well, the canonical, and what was it called? The canonical, whatever the fuck.
Inquiry.
Yeah, that's it. Thank
Inquest.
You. No, I think it was inquiry. I think you're right. The canonical, the internal investigation, I hope it yields nothing for the other guys. You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's like they are all just been good priests, but we'll see. Anyway, so such a downer.
Oh, if you think that's a downer, wait until next episode.
I know. Anyway, so we're on the internet. We're on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, at Canada Obscura. I give up. All one word. We also have an email, CanadaObscuraPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up whenever the fuck you want, We love it. What else? I'm missing something. I don't know.
Twitter updates?
Oh, yeah. Usually it's on Twitter. I tried to tweet last week's, sorry, we're missing this week. Update on Twitter, And I didn't realize it didn't go through until like 9:30 at night.
Oh.
And I came home and I was like, I just finally was like starting to go through my Twitter and I was like, why is this still loading?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was because I was at school and I don't get service. But like all my other, everything else said fine. But the one tweet, I was like, what's the point? At this point, like, there's no point. Like if you haven't figured it out now, right? You've figured it out by now. But yeah, usually Twitter is a place I update first, but yeah, and we roll out the updates, blah, 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 blah. You know by now. Anyway, take care of yourselves. We hope you enjoyed
yourselves. We
have not been. We have not been about that. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, and welcome to Canada Obscura. My name is Mary.
I think we need to restart that. I don't know why that was so strong.